Thank you, delegates. This airlines cannot take off until all passengers are seated and firmly and seatbelts fastened. We will begin this afternoon with another surprise, one that I think will be pleasant for all of you. As you know, last calendar year, Ezzedine Boutrieff, who was formerly the director of I keep forgetting the titles. Nutrition and Consumer Protection Division, and who had been for many long years really the staunch protector of there is no interpretation. Is there interpretation now? Yes, okay. As you know, Ezzedine Boutrieff had been for many years the strong defender of Codex within FAO. Just 1 minute, please. Delegates without interpretation, please raise your hands, So everyone okay? Everyone is okay here? Okay. Well, I will proceed, and I hope you can understand the spirit, at least in English. Ezzedine Boutrieff, for many years, was the defender of Codex's budget. As you know, FAO provides most of the budget for Codex, and during times of great upheaval in FAO through reorganization, budget challenges, he defended that budget and defended it successfully. He defended the importance of the organization and maintained that defense so that when FAO did undergo its independent external evaluation, that evaluation noted that Codex was indeed the crown jewel in FAO's crown. Because Ezzedine left last December with relatively little acknowledgement from the Commission, we had a small reception for him during the middle of the day, one day at the Commission last year. We felt in the Executive Committee that this wasn't quite enough. So what we did this year was to prepare a poster for him. We did two things. We prepared a poster for him signed by all members of the Executive Committee. It was really great fun. One of the members, even when there was an accidental ink spot, turned it into a flower. Very clever, your executive committee members. And we have given him, we are giving him a gift that also has a strong Codex meaning. It is an antique American Steuben crystal glass apple that perfectly is perfect Codex apple. And it's, Ezzedine, it's very heavy. So I hope you have enough paper now that you're retired to make adequate use of it. You certainly did when you were director. So thank you very much from all of us.
Thank you very much, Karen, Madam Chair, for the honor that you gave me and the privilege that you gave me to be with you today. I didn't expect it. I didn't plan it. And when I received the invitation, I was so emotionally touched that I felt that I would come and greet you and salute you maybe for the last time. We never know. I really plan to retire for good and leave the place for the younger generation to take over. And I have ex-colleagues that are from FAO, and they are also in WHO, that will certainly take this responsibility on hand and pursue the effort that we have done. If I have done anything in favor of Codex, it's certainly out of first conviction that it is a program that's worth fighting for and also supporting all through, but also it's also responding to our governing bodies in FAO, and I could say also in WHO, because it's the same spirit, that have always put emphasis on the importance of Codex and the priority that Codex should receive. So there were times where we had challenges, where we had cuts, etc., and we had to fight to keep Codex budget away from these cuts. And this has been done with sacrifices on other programs of the division, but we kept the budget for Codex unchanged and even increased it over years. Madam Chair, this is also an opportunity for me to say how much I was privileged also and how much I was encouraged by the spirit that you have brought lately to Codex and by your entrepreneurship, your sense of bringing changes that would enhance Codex, both in terms of quality of output, but also of speed of output, things that the evaluation has very much insisted on as FAO and WHO, as parent organization, to pursue when we did the evaluation in 2002. Having said that, I think seeing all these the family of Codex with which I have spent so many years in front of me gives me an opportunity also to thank you, delegates, for your participation in Codex work. It's you, your work, your participation, the negotiations, and the clarity through which the system works, and the inclusiveness that has been brought in Codex, as well as the openness and transparency that made Codex worth what it is now, and the recognition that Codex has internationally and nationally. So it's your work that made it become what it is. With this, I would thank you very much for the nice gesture, which I will keep next to me in my country farm, where I'm now devoting all my time to farming, going back to what FAO is about, farming and producing food. And I wish Codex long life and good success in the future. And I hope I'll be following your news, your positive and supportive news, through internet and other means. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you, delegates. Iran, I see your flag, but before you speak, the secretary would like to make an explanation about the audio system. We have an explanation for why some of you lost interpretation. So, Madam Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's because it seems that some delegates touched one of the cables which was on the floor, and that's what disrupted the interpretation system. So we would like to ask your kind cooperation to avoid touching or moving any of these cables, because that can cut the interpretation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, Iran, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I would like you did very fast the welfare of the Dr. Boutrif. I would like to say some words regarding the dedicative and the hard work that he has done so far in this codex. It's worthwhile to remind his excellent job that Dr. Boutrif has done so far for the codex, at least along during the 5 years I have been in the FAO and also working with this codex collaboratively and closely. We will witness it. The highest hard work and excellent job has been done by Dr. Boutrif regarding the codex. So, just I would like to take the floor and thank him and express our appreciate from my delegation to his best work he done and wish him the best whenever he will be. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Iran. Now, we are ready to resume our work where we left off after lunch. We left with a charge to the chair of food hygiene to work with a delegation, and I ask whether there is an answer for the Commission from that work.
Thank you, Chair. And yes, we do have an answer. We were able to meet with the delegation. Yes, we're back here against the wall. We're the furthest point away from you. But I'm in company of my other two chairs here, okay, so it's okay. So, yes, we were able to meet during the lunch break and reach an agreement, and we provided a text. Basically, the issue was the lack of linkage between the standard and the guidelines. And so we've provided text that is to be added to the text of the standard that would make that linkage a lot more controlled, and provided that language to the Secretariat, to Verna. So if she chooses to read it, but I think that satisfied the major issue that India had with this document.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yes, I do have the proposal that was put forward, and I think it is a good proposal to link the standard to the code. But, Madam Chair, I would propose that we discuss the actual wording of the reference in Section 4.4 under Agenda Item 8, when we will talk about amendments to standards. I can read it out now so people are aware, but if there is any need for refinement, we discuss it under Agenda Item 8. Okay. So would you like me to read it?
Yes.
Okay, so 4.4 in the standard for natural mineral waters will... the text in 4.4 will be replaced by the following text. During the marketing of natural mineral waters shall conform to the microbiological criteria as defined in Annex 1 of the Code of Hygienic Practice for Collecting, Processing and Marketing of Natural Mineral Waters. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretariat. Now, as suggested, we will take up discussion of this language when we come later to talk about amendments to Codex texts, but this does seem to be a change that can be made that satisfies the committee, it improves the document, and it satisfies the concerns of a member. Therefore, I ask the committee, are there any other comments on this text? We are talking about the proposed draft revision of the recommended International Code of Hygienic Practice for Collecting, Processing, and Marketing of Natural Mineral Waters. Are there any other comments, please? I saw a flag, but could you please hold it this way? It's not possible. Colombia. Colombia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Notwithstanding the observation of this morning, we would like to say that we do have some observations we'd like to make. I don't know if they could go in on an editorial level, but we do have several, so that if the Commission decides to adopt this draft revision, or that if we could have perhaps these observations go in if this is in fact being approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Colombia, I'm not certain what your observations are, but the Secretary wishes to intervene. Secretariat, please.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I think what Colombia is referring to, and I think Argentina made similar observations, and it is an oversight on our part, is that we forgot to change in throughout the document bottling to packaging. And that is in accordance with the decision that was taken at the committee to replace bottling with packaging where appropriate so as not to exclude other forms of packaging. And this will be done in paragraphs 30, 31, 56, 72, 83, 98, as well as in the footnote, which provides the rationale for the parameters on total coliforms, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, and an aerobic mesophilic count. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Colombia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This partially satisfies or assuages our concerns, but something else, another concern we had mentioned in our observations, the mention of certain materials as established, I think it's in paragraph 31, when mentioning ceramics, stainless steel, I don't know if that should be mentioned as well, because it looks as if we're talking about here mentions to specific materials.
Thank you, Colombia. I will call upon the United States and the chair of the Food Hygiene Committee. United States, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, on that specific paragraph that Colombia is referring to, the use of those materials are used just as an example. And I believe the paragraph, I don't have the paragraph in front of me, but I believe the paragraph is very, very generic in that any material can be used as long as it's appropriate and acceptable. So it doesn't limit it to ceramic or to stainless steel or anything like this.
Thank you, United States. I hope that addresses your concern, Colombia. If there remains a translation issue, please bring it to the Secretariat. Are there any other comments delegates wish to make about this document? I see no other flags. Then the Commission adopts this proposed draft revision of the recommended International Code of Hygienic Practice for Collecting, Processing, and Marketing of Natural Mineral Waters at Step 5.8. Thank you very much. We now turn to the Committee on Fats and Oils and the draft amendment to the standard for named vegetable oil, inclusion of palm kernel oleum and palm kernel stearin. Comments, please. I note that the Executive Committee recommended adoption. Are there any comments? Egypt, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that after yesterday's meeting with Malaysia, Well, thanks to the meeting, we've been able to reach agreement on the draft as it is, but with some amendments, nonetheless, regarding the definition of vegetable oils. This would include a footnote so as to clarify the differences between the minimum iron content in olein. Colonel Olein, thank you.
Thank you, Egypt. But we received no comments of any form, in any written form at all, and would need to turn to the chair of the committee, to Malaysia, and the chair of the committee for some explanation of this development. Malaysia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, distinguished delegates. Speaking as the chair of the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils, I would like to thank Egypt for the intervention on the draft amendment to the standard for named vegetable oils on the inclusion of palm kernel olein and palm kernel stearin. I would like to clarify that the term crude here, as Egypt has concerns on that, as used in the draft amendment, actually refers to virgin palm kernel olein and palm kernel stearin. The term crude is used in relation to many oils which are obtained through mechanical procedures described in section 2.2.2 of the Codex Standards for named vegetable oils for virgin oils, that is, by expelling, pressing, and application of heat only. These oils may be purified by washing with water, settling, filtering, and centrifuging only. I recall that the 22nd session of the CCFO had considered the draft amendment and had unanimously agreed to forward the draft to Step 8 for adoption by the 34th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Hence, I would like to propose that this draft amendment to include the palm kernel olein and palm kernel stearin into the standard for named vegetable oils be adopted at Step 8 by the 34th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Malaysia. We still here do not understand whether you, on behalf of the committee, are accepting a change being proposed by Egypt. It seemed that Egypt was suggesting that you did. So please clarify for the Commission the status of this comment by Egypt, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand there was some discussions with the Malaysian delegation yesterday, but what I've done is just now was to clarify the concerns that Egypt have, and with that, I feel there is no need to change the text because it's very clear that this, the named vegetable oils also refers to crude oils, which is in the definition as in section 2.2.2 of the Codex Standard. So the standard will remain as it is without change. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Malaysia. I think that's clear now. Egypt, I hope you can accept that explanation by the chair. Are there any other comments on this draft text? Molly, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The delegation of Mali would like to take this opportunity to commend the Malaysian chairmanship. This was a big job. Thanks to their efforts, we have arrived now at a conclusion, and we would like to endorse the adoption of this text.
Thank you, Mali. I see no other flags, so I believe we can say, oh, Egypt, would you like to come back in again? Please make this brief.
شكرا سيدة الرئيسة. أود أن أوضح نقطة لماليزيا قبل اتفقنا بالأمس أن ما ينص على
Yes, I just like to say that the agreement that we arrived at concerns oil, edible oils, but this does not concern the raw oils, the crude oils. And we agreed to indicate this information I mentioned earlier in a footnote in the document. Thank you.
Egypt, the chair has responded, and I believe understands your comments and suggests that given the history of discussion of this, all of these issues in the committee, consensus was reached on those as they are presented in the draft text before this commission. And the committee and an additional member have suggested that it be adopted as it stands now with no further amendment. If you wish, we can record a reservation on your part.
شكرا سيدة الرئيسة. نود أن نسجل هذا التحفظ.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, we would like to have this reservation recorded in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Egypt. We will then adopt. Commission adopts the draft amendment to the standard for named vegetable oil inclusion of palm kernel olein and palm kernel stearin. And we turn now to the code of practice for the storage and transport of edible fats and oils in bulk, draft criteria to assess the acceptability of substances for inclusion in a list of previous acceptable previous cargoes. It's before the Commission at step 8. Are there any comments, please? Columbia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we're saying in our observations that we submitted in the chapter on contamination, we would like to have number 3 eliminated. Looks as if we have some reservations. If this paragraph remains, then we would like to voice a reservation regarding this particular code. Thank you.
Thank you, Columbia. Are there any other comments on this, on the draft criteria? Molly?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the Malian delegation pointed out in the CR22 that we sent in earlier, we're happy to see that there is a consensus that's been reached regarding this directive. And so we are in favor of adoption. Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Are there any other comments? I see no flags. We will adopt the draft code of practice for the storage and transport of edible fats and oils, the draft criteria, with the reservation noted for Columbia. Thank you very much. Delegates. Now we turn to the code of practice for the storage and transport of edible fats and oils in bulk, draft list and proposed draft list of acceptable previous cargoes, one at step 8 and one at step 5-8. Comments, please. Costa Rica, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Costa Rica would like to make a reservation for the approval of this line, even though the criteria approved in the foregoing standard hold, the very valid. We don't believe in the draft list, because if a substance complies with the earlier accepted criteria, but there are some things that could be considered as a technical obstacle to trade. Thank you.
Thank you, Costa Rica. United States, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We note that the Committee on Fats and Oils has worked for almost 20 years without achieving consensus on the development of these lists. And the lack of criteria for the evaluation of substances had been a significant problem in finalizing the Codex list of acceptable previous cargoes. And for this reason, a joint FAO-WHO expert committee developed criteria to resolve this impasse, which we just adopted. However, this proposed list of substances does not meet the just adopted criteria for previous accepted cargoes. The United States opposes advancing these lists for final adoption, since many of the substances do not meet the second criterion. That is, they lack an ADI for evaluation, or the existing ADI is limited only to flavor use and is not applicable to contaminant situations. This concerns us because the basis for developing criteria was to use them to evaluate the substances proposed for inclusion on the Codex list. At the most recent CCFO meeting this past February, the discussions in the intersession working group and the plenary reflected deep divisions among the delegates and indicated that consensus could not be reached. Failure to advance these lists would not disadvantage countries lacking the resources to perform their own safety assessments, since similar lists of acceptable previous cargoes are already effectively maintained by several organizations and are publicly available. The United States would prefer that the list be returned to the committee for further work. But if the Commission does adopt the lists, the United States requests that the CCFO be directed to take up, as an immediate priority, a review of all the substances on the list against the just adopted criteria. Madam Chair, I ask that my comments be reflected in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. Nigeria, please.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Nigeria sent comments before, but we just want to reiterate that we support the adoption by the Commission of the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes as steps 8 and 5 of 8, as it will provide a leverage for the developing countries who lack the capacity in terms of resources and competence to carry out the required risk assessment of substances on the list. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nigeria. Cameroon, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Cameroon, well, as we said earlier in expressing our opinion in CRD 15, does not support the proposal to adopt the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes. We think that this would constitute an obstacle to international trade, and in this way, this could give rise to a sharp increase in prices after shortfalls of some products could occur. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Cameroon. Japan, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Japan is not in support to the final adoption of the two draft protocols proposed list of acceptable previous cargoes. Japan has concerns that several substances in the list do not meet the criteria to assess the acceptability of substances for inclusion. Almost half of the items listed in these lists have not been reviewed by JECFA. Therefore, Japan strongly suggests that the draft list should be returned to the CCFO for further elaboration. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Japan. Canada, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And Canada would add its voice to those who have expressed concern regarding the adoption of the lists at this time. Maintenance of lists within Codex are always an area of concern for Canada and should be carefully considered. In this case, given that we have just adopted criteria, we are of the view, as has been expressed by others, that careful consideration with respect to the criteria should be undertaken before the list is adopted. And so we would therefore propose that, as others have proposed, that it be subjected to further consideration by the committee before moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Canada. Malaysia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Distinguished delegates, speaking as the Chair of the Codex Committee on Fats and Oils, I would like to thank all the countries that have spoken before me for their comments on the proposed draft amendment to the Code of Practice for the storage and transport of edible fats and oils in bulk, the draft list and proposed draft list of acceptable previous cargoes. Members of the CCFO would recall that at the 22nd session of the CCFO, members were given ample opportunity to discuss the issue in the in-session working group and again in the plenary. Permit me just to highlight to the Commission the gist of the discussions and conclusions of that session. The points raised by the delegation of the United States of America at this session of the Commission were thoroughly discussed and were supported by only a few members. On the contrary, many delegations supported the advancement of the draft list and the proposed draft list of acceptable previous cargoes to the Commission for final adoption at Step 8 and Step 5/8, respectively. In supporting the advancement of this list, many delegations were of the view that the list would benefit Codex members, especially developing countries which rely on Codex for guidance, as these countries do not have the necessary technical competence and resources to develop their own lists. These delegations were of the opinion that the substances on the list were currently used as acceptable previous cargoes in fats and oil trade and recognized as safe. It was reiterated that a national trade list is limited to national participation as compared to a Codex list which necessitates international participation by member countries. It was emphasized that the absence of international harmonization could result in barriers to trade. Madam Chair, distinguished delegates, the CCFO has been given the mandate to develop the list of acceptable previous cargoes by the 23rd session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. During the adoption of the amendment to the recommended international code of practice for the storage and transport of edible fats and oils in bulk in 1999, together with the Codex list of banned immediate previous cargoes to be incorporated as Appendixes 2 and 3 of the Code of Practice, respectively. It is my belief that the CCFO has carried out this task according to the accepted working procedures of Codex, and as I have just summarized, the 22nd session of the CCFO in 2011 has clearly indicated that there is sufficient support to advance this list. I'm therefore relaying the decision of the CCFO that the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes be adopted at Step 8 and the proposed draft list of acceptable previous cargoes be adopted at Step 5/8 by this 34th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. This is also in line with the recommendation of the 62nd session of the Executive Committee for the CCFO to complete its work by 2011. Thank you.
Thank you, Malaysia. Turkey, please.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, Madam. Turkey supports the adaptation of the list of previous cargoes as proposed by the Committee on Fats and Oils. I think this list will be helpful for trade between countries. This committee just adopted criteria on this issue, but criteria means you should analyze, but what about the list? List will be, the easy way to find a solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Turkey. European community, please.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The European Union supports the approval of the draft and proposed draft lists of acceptable previous cargoes. We consider that this is of major importance in order to provide for the protection of the health of consumers. Over and above the question of harmlessness, the existence of an internationally coordinated list is absolutely essential to make sure that there are fair practices in trade. And this, of course, is one of the leading goals of the Codex Alimentarius. This list of substances is of particular importance for countries that don't have the resources necessary to carry out a risk evaluation of various substances when it comes to drawing up their own lists. And the European Union does not consider that the procedure to update the list will be a problem if we have the necessary information to make the evaluation. Hence, in recent years, the number of requests that have been made to include substances on the existing lists has been highly limited. For example, the list of the United States, the version of 2007, the European Union 2004, and FOSFA, or 2008, so there are not that many substances, not so many that would have to be included. Now, when it comes to the comments voiced regarding the procedure in the committee, the European Union considers that the Codex Alimentarius Commission has already agreed that there should be a list of acceptable previous cargoes, as pointed out by the chairperson of CCFO, when the code of practices was approved. So what we have to focus on now, Madam Chair, well, it's not whether or not we need a list, but rather what are those substances that must be included in that list. All of the members of the Codex have had the opportunity to submit their specific comments in order to justify the concerns regarding the harmlessness, the safety of the substances, but there was no submittal, so I would like to encourage the Executive Committee in this direction, and we strongly, vigorously approve this draft. Thank you.
Thank you, European Union. Australia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We like the United States and Japan and Canada, also have some concerns with the maintenance of this form of list. If, however, the consensus is for the adoption of such a list, we would be referring to the Appendix 4 of the last session of that committee, where it makes reference to the review of the substances on that list against the now adopted criteria, and Australia would see that it, as a process to ensure the acceptability of those substances on that list, that they be assessed against that draft criteria expeditiously by that committee as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Australia. Brazil, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. we consider that these lists are important international references intended to avoid the use of differentiated procedures in the trade of edible fats and oils. The absence of these lists would imply a case-by-case evaluation by importers on the security of the substances used before the transport of oils and fats. We understand that this standard is important to Codex members, in special to developing countries. Thank you.
Thank you, Brazil. Thailand, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thailand supports the adoption of the list of acceptable previous cargoes, as the list will be useful for a reference to developing countries. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Thailand. Georgia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We support the position of Malaysia, Brazil, and EU, and Nigeria, and about adoption of the list of previous cargoes.
Thank you, Georgia. Croatia, then Colombia, and then I think we will close the list. We have a pretty good sense of the room, I believe. So next, Croatia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Croatia supports approval of the proposed draft list, also statement of Malaysia.
Thank you, Croatia. Colombia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Listen, likewise, I'd like to say that Colombia is in favor of approving this draft project of acceptable previous cargoes.
Thank you. We have seemingly a general support for adoption of the list, with some countries objecting to adoption, but many, virtually all of them, suggesting that the committee do further work on substances in the list against the criteria which the commission has just adopted. Is there a way forward that can combine those two ideas? Malaysia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, distinguished delegates. I'm just looking at the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes. The proposal that was raised by United States and some other countries that they should review the list is actually reflected under Notes 3 of the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes, where it says that this list is not necessarily a final list, but subject to review and possible amendment to take into account of scientific or technical developments. Of course, they have to follow appropriate risk assessment procedures as listed down there. So the provision is already there. But as mentioned by the delegation of EU, I think that when the countries have data, they should submit, and this can be addressed to the provision that is already existing in the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes. It's already provided there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Malaysia. Are there any comments on this possible way forward? Do I see any flags? United States?
Thank you, Chair. I think that we would prefer that the committee be specifically directed to review the substances on the list against those just adopted criteria and have a clear expression of that moving forward.
Thank you, United States. Can the Commission agree to that suggestion? Malaysia?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Distinguished delegates, I just like at this point in time, could we pose a question to the JACFA Secretariat, because this point has been discussed many times during the CCFO. I think the data should also be forthcoming from countries for them to do the review. Maybe the JACFA Secretary could highlight or throw some light into this on this point as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Malaysia. I will ask the JECFA Secretariat to respond to that question, which speaks to the suggestions of, I think, several countries that have asked for review of the substances on the list against the criteria. So, JECFA Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you to the Chair of the Codex Committee on Fat and Oils. And as was mentioned, this is a question that had come up previously. When the discussion came up previously that JECFA should undertake an assessment of each possible compound, it was made clear that this is not feasible and not practical. Hence, the activity was undertaken in order to establish a criteria so that you can then prioritize, and only compounds that where there is indication for concern, lack of appropriate assessments on a case-by-case basis, these could then be forwarded to JECFA for evaluation. But for all the other ones, the criteria have been established, and when applying these criteria, solutions should be found without having to go through JECFA every time. Thank you.
Thank you, JECFA Secretary. I hope that explanation is clear to countries. There is a procedure to be followed that is in line with the criteria and the agreements that have been, or the agreements that have been reached in the committee. Are there any other comments? Tanzania, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having listened to the chairperson of the committee, CCFO, and the JECFA explanation, and also given the fact that we have just adopted the criteria, it sounds logical to this commission to retain the document at step 8 to provide, opportunity for the committee to assess the list against the criteria we have just adopted. So Tanzania Chair would propose we retain it at step 8, provide opportunity for the committee in its next session to review the list against the criteria we have adopted, and given the matter of the urgency that the criteria, the list is very important for international trade. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanzania. The complication introduced by your idea is that if the list were to be retained at step 8, then the committee would not be in a position to do any further work on it because it's held by the commission at step 8. So I understand your search for a solution, but that would not appear to enable enable what you seek to occur. Tanzania, please.
Thank you, Chair. Then we would propose the list being returned to the committee to just provide that opportunity for assessing the list against the criteria we have just adopted. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanzania. I understand from the previous discussion and from consultation with the JECFA Secretariat that would not be a brief process, that would be a rather lengthy process. The JECFA Secretariat suggests the use of the criteria to identify agents, substances on the list that are of highest priority for review and then on a case-by-case basis have them taken up by JECFA for review. So if the committee can agree with this proposal, then I would propose that that is a solution for these lists. Are there any objections to this formulation? Canada, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not necessarily opposition, just seeking clarification. So you didn't restate your proposal, so just to ensure that we understand well, are you proposing that we adopt the list and, as had been proposed, I believe, by the United States, that the Commission direct the committee on a priority basis to review the list against the criteria and where, on the basis of that review, items need to be referred to JECFA, that then be the outcome? If that is the case, we can support that. Thank you.
That is a proposal that was on the table. It isn't exactly what I proposed, but let's see the reaction to that we adopt the list with a direction to the Committee on Fats and Oils to review the list against the criteria, taking into account the realities of JECFA resources, setting highest priorities and considering data as they are available. But that would be a direction from this body to the committee. Are there any objections to that? Are there any objections to that proposal? I see no flags. Then we can adopt with a recommendation from this commission to the Committee on Fats and Oils that the substances in the list be reviewed as a matter of priority against the criteria, using those criteria to identify those most critical substances, taking into account data availability and other criteria that JECFA requires for review. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Canada, for further focusing my summary on that point. Very good. So we have adopted the draft list and draft proposed list of acceptable previous cargoes at Step 8 and 5-8, and we move to the Codex Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling and the draft revised guidelines on measurement uncertainty. Comments, please. I see no comments. The draft revised guidelines on measurement uncertainty are adopted. We move to the Codex Committee on Food Additives. Draft and proposed draft food additive provisions of the General Standard for Food Additives. Are there comments, please? Republic of Korea.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We recognize the fifth AB recommendation. However, the Government of Korea wishes to reserve on the adoption of the provision for colors, since this color using is for fresh food need to be limited. Thank you.
Thank you, Akuria. Could you say again for which category you would wish to record a reservation on the use of colors?
It's a the category number 5.1, 5.3, and 5.4.
Thank you very much, Korea. Cuba, please.
I have trouble with the microphone. Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. On this issue, Cuba would like to express its reservation with regard to the draft and proposed draft because we do not agree with the level put forward of sulfites for some elements in alcohol, and we agree neither with the proposal for the content of liquids in some fish or fermented fish. We know that not just fish, we're looking at the so this is to do with drinks, to do with not just sports drinks but other drinks as well. And also we're looking at the levels per kilo, which shouldn't exceed 200 milligrams per kilo with regard to toxicology in each case, whether it be of sulfites or nitrosamine. Nevertheless, we would suggest that this could be revised. If it's approved, we'd like to express our reservation. Thank you.
Thank you, Cuba. The Secretariat didn't quite catch everything you said. At times the interpretation wasn't very clear, so could I ask you to give your intervention again and perhaps to speak a little more slowly?
So I will repeat now. With regard to the draft for food additives, Cuba has reservations to express with regard to the sulfites for drinks, with low alcohol levels. With 50 grams per million, we also like to express our reservation. We do not agree with the provisions on the limits for nitrosamine. We would propose 300 milligrams per kilogram, given the principle that this limit should not be exceeded for psychological reasons, particularly with nitrosamine, for fermented drinks as well as for other drinks, as these are products that are largely consumed by large groups of population, for example, cocoa, chocolate milk, and a whole range of drinks that are based on these produced. And this includes sports drinks and energy drinks. Psychological tests that we have carried out show that in specific cases I've mentioned for these types of drinks, the limits put forward for sulfites and nitrosamines should be lower than those reflected here. And Cuba calls that in the case that this is approved, we would want to state in the final report the reservation of Cuba on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Cuba, for that clarification. following your clarification, we have an observation you need to hear from the Secretary, from the Secretariat. Secretary, thank you. Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was looking at what has been submitted by the Committee on Food Additives, and with regard to sulfite, we have a provision for sulfite in aromatized alcoholic beverage, example beer, wine, and spiritus cooler type beverages, and low alcoholic refreshers. And we don't have any other provision for sulfite concerning fermented milk that is submitted for adoption. With regard to erythrosine, what is submitted for adoption are provision for erythrosine in fermented vegetables, in chewing gum, in decorations, and in processed meat. So I cannot see any provision for the product that have been indicated by the delegation of Cuba. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. We can certainly take into account your reservation, Cuba, on those substances that are included in the list. I now ask Brazil to take the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Brazil is in favor of the adoption of this text, with exception of the reference of the colorant caramel 4, sulfite ammonia process in food category 11.6. Tabletop sweeteners, including those containing high intensity sweeteners. We understand that there is no technological justification for the use of colorants in this type of product. In case of adoption, Brazil would like that its reservation to the matter be recorded on the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Brazil. Norway, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We support the adoption of the draft and proposed draft food additives provisions. However, we would like to make a reservation regarding the following additives: canthaxanthin, lauric, arginate, ethyl ester, and steviol glycosid. Regarding carotenoids, we would like to comment on the use of note 16 on category 911, fresh fish. This was discussed during the last meeting of the Fish Committee, and with your permission, we would like to discuss this now, because this is put on the agenda under item 10, matters referred. However, we feel it is appropriate to raise this now, as this concerns the adoption of food additives. So with your permission, Madam Chair, we would like to refer to what was discussed during the Fish Committee. The committee agreed to express its concern to the Commission concerning the provisions forwarded for adoption by the CCFA on food colors carotenoids 160A with note 16 for use in glaze, coatings or decorations for fruit, vegetables, meat or fish in food category 911 fresh fish, as this may lead to cases where glazing with colors are used to falsify fresh fish and to mislead the consumer about the freshness of fish and fishery products. Norway shares these concerns as presented by the Fish Committee and would like to suggest that note 16 is deleted for this food category 911 fresh fish. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Norway. Your reservation is noted. European Union, please.
Muchas gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The comments of the European Union are available in conference document 11. Our first comment: we would like to support the statement made by Norway on the use of carotenoids in fresh fish, and also we would suggest deleting note 16 for these additives for fish for reasons that have just been stated. My second comment, Madam Chair, relates to the fact that we would like to understand a reservation in the report of this session, and note this for the approval of the following provisions. All relating to Katanxin and INS 161, Caramel 3 and 4, Lauric arginate ethyl ester, and stearyl glycosides. Given the concern, our safety concerns. The third comment, Madam Chair, relates to the provisions of beta-carotene, vegetable beta-carotene, INS 160A2, for categories of food 642, which relates to dried pasta and other dried products. We are also opposed to the approval of this provision at step 5.8, given that the additives and colours in pasta could lead to concerns from and problems from the consumer relating to the this pasta. The use of colour in pasta could have distortions in the market, lead to distortions and unfair trade practices. And also we believe that the general standards should not include information relating to these colourants, but to reach an agreement and to move things forward, we would suggest that we add at note B1 for the use of this only for certain products so that we can move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, European Union. I remind delegates two things. Please hold your cards clearly like this, especially in the back. It's virtually impossible to see. And please respect the time clock. When the time clock goes to red, your time is up. Republic of Korea, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, to speak speaking second round. I wish to correct my category number. It was not the category 0.5. It's characterized for category number 9.1 as well as 9.12. Thank you.
Thank you. Korea, Egypt, please.
شكراً سيدة الرئيسة. نحن نؤيد ما جاء على لسان.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We support what was said by our colleague from Norway, as well as from the European Union relating to our reservations on additives, particularly colorants for chocolate, milk drinks, and refined cheeses. We also have reservations on lauric arginate ethyl ester, minus 243. Leafies and pasta. We support Norway, particularly in the area of beta carotene, looking at fresh fish. And we've just heard from Norway, we also participated in the work of the last committee, and we recommended not to use these products so that cannot distort consumption of these products on the market. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We would like to endorse this draft with some reservations, nonetheless, regarding erythrocene, and we don't want to have this in the new category of elements that are being proposed. Regarding sulfites, we only want to support 30 milligrams per kilo, item 0.4, 0.1, 0.1, 0.2, fresh fruit that are treated by spraying. That's the only one The only reservation you want to provide, we can endorse the rest. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chile, Philippines.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to express our support for the adoption of the general standard for food additives at step 8, particularly on the proposed maximum level of stevial glycosides. Thank you.
Thank you, Philippines. United States of America, please.
Thank you, Chair. The United States supports adoption of the general standard for food additives and wants specifically to note that the United States does not support the deletion of Note 16. We believe that there may be some confusion regarding the use of these glazes in fish. They are not used for injecting color into the product, but rather to be used as a surface coating. The committee had previously agreed that the use of colors on fresh products should be limited to surface treatments only, as specified in Notes 4 and 16. This was part of the horizontal approach taken with respect to the color additive provisions in the GSFA. National or domestic fraudulent processing practices are best dealt with by national legislation. The potential misuse of an additive when not used as specified in the GSFA should not affect the listing of that additive in the GSFA. Failure to adopt this provision would be contrary to the recommendation of the 58th session of the Executive Committee of Codex Alimentarius that was endorsed by the 28th session of the Codex Commission, which states the GSFA should be the single authoritative reference point for food additives, and this should be made clear in all commodity standards. The United States notes that the Codex Committee on Fish and Fishery Products did not agree with the CCFA's recommendation to forward the provision for the use of carotenoids in food category 9.1.1 for adoption by the CAC. The United States also notes that the CCFFP has responsibility only for those products for which it has developed standards. Food category 9.1.1 is broad in that it contains both standardized and non-standardized products. Allowing commodity committees to reject the use of additives that have been approved as technologically justified by CCFA would undermine the purpose of GSFA. If a commodity committee sees a need to have a different provision for an additive in a commodity standard than that listed in the corresponding food category in the GSFA, the commodity committee may choose to note the exception. However, such exceptions should be technologically justified and as limited as possible. These additives have been determined to be safe by JECFA and forwarded by the CCFA to the CAC for adoption. The Commission should adopt them at Step 8.
Thank you very much. Delegates, I see a number of other countries have registered their desire to speak. I think we can be close to summing up, but I will take these last six. Please be very brief in your comments. Please be very, very brief. Don't read out your written comments. We'll start with Kenya. Kenya, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kenya would like the Note 16 to be deleted, but if the standard is to be adopted, then we would like to make our reservation, particularly on the use of carotenoids on fresh fish. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kenya. Next, quickly, please, Uzbekistan.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Uzbekistan supports the doubts put forward by the countries using food additives in energy and sports drink in the quantity should be clearly regulated, considering the fact that in their content,
that medical products such as caffeine and taurine are also used. So we would request this be put in the report of the meeting and review this issue separately, if possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Uzbekistan. The substances you mentioned are not on the table for discussion now. You would need to take that concern to the committee. Australia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the question of colours in pasta, Australia would like to support the US intervention. We endorse all of the provisions sent to the Commission by CCFA on the GSFA. In principle, we believe that the use of colours is technologically justified in general as a class of internationally accepted food additive functional classes, and provided they are safe at the level proposed, there should be no barriers to their use in a wide variety of products. On the question that was raised by the European Commission on the use of a more restrictive note, it would be helpful to have more clarity on the alternate note, because there could be some compromises that could be reached, and we may be able to agree to a more restrictive note. On the use of note 16, we do not believe there's any likelihood that there could be any use of glazes that would be used to adulterate fresh fish to deceive the consumer. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Australia. I think what we will do after hearing three more interventions is walk through the categories of concern that have been expressed, and pasta will be one of them. Next, we'll take Canada.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Canada would like to support the interventions made by the United States and Australia, and in fact supports the adoption of the additives as recommended by the CCFA. Canada considers that these additives have undergone a fulsome and conclusive review against the criteria and the requirements established in the GSFA. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Canada. Norway, please.
Thank you, Chair, Madam, for allowing me to return to the discussion we had on the footnote for fresh fish. The Fish Committee, during its last session, discussed thoroughly the suggestions by the Food Additives Committee and followed its encouragement to consider those provisions that were relevant for our Commodity Committee. Accepting that the Food Additives Committee will always be responsible for public health aspects, whereas the Commodity Committees should focus on the technological relevance for the use of the specific food additive. As is clear from Agenda Item 10, the Fish Committee unanimously concluded that there was no technological need for a colouring substance for fresh fish, and we report this back to the Food Additives Committee via the Commission. So this reflects a year-long dispute to align Commodity Committee standards requirements for food additives with those of the GSFA. So now we are at some point trying to intermingle as best as we can with the Food Additives Committee to get this right. So we reiterate our request for deleting footnote 16 as supported by many other countries during this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Norway, Paraguay. Last intervention on this round. Paraguay, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief, as you requested me to be. Paraguay would like to voice its support for the approval, level 8, of this general standard for food additives as recommended by the Committee on Food Additives. We are in support of adopting all the provisions for these additives. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paraguay. If the committee will indulge me, let me take a moment to consult with the Secretariat, and then I will get back to you with a sum up. Thank you, delegates. Having listened to all the interventions, it seems as though we can conclude thusly that with respect to these draft and proposed draft food additive provisions of the GSFA, we can adopt all provisions except, noting, except those for which reservations, we'll adopt all provisions, noting the reservations expressed by a number of countries on a number of additives. The Secretariat has taken careful note of which additives you have expressed reservations, on which you have expressed reservations. With regard to carotenoids used in fish, I would propose that we adopt, without note 16, I note that several countries expressed concern and wished to keep it, and I would ask if those countries would like to have their reservations recorded. With respect to pasta, there was an intervention by the European Union that was not very clear, because of the way it was expressed, but quite possibly because of interpretation. And we would ask you to repeat it. It sounded as though you had a compromise to suggest. So before we get to that point, can the committee agree with the first point, that we adopt all provisions except noting reservations, with noting the reservations countries have made? I'm leaving out here carotenoids. I see no Switzerland, please.
Merci.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe my arm wasn't raised high enough. I was not able to voice the reservations of the Swiss delegation with regard to the use of contaxantin for fresh products as well as other substances as well. My delegation considers that this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable to use coloring agents on fresh products, fresh produce. It's like painting a foodstuff to make it look good for cosmetic purposes. Furthermore, we have some reservations for the stevial glycosides, as we see the value is too close to the admissible daily dose for high consumers of sweetened beverages. The dose would be very quickly exceeded, and we don't have much in terms of experience for those substances. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Switzerland. We'll note those reservations. Now, we will move on. Having noted those reservations, adding in Switzerland, with respect to carotenoids in fish and adoption without note 16, I am asking those countries that had wished to keep note 16 if you would like your reservations recorded in this report. If so, would you please inform us? United States of America.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, out of respect for the GSFA, we would like to note our reservation. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. Are there any other countries, any other member countries that would like to record a reservation? Australia? Australia? All right. Brazil?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry for Yes, we'd like to express our reservation in regard to Caramel 4, as we said before. Thank you.
Thank you. Brazil, we understand that. We have accepted that. This is strictly about carotenoids in fish. So, Australia, you raised your flag. Do you wish to indicate wordlessly that you want your reservation recorded?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. We want our reservation recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, keeping in mind, we're talking about carotenoids and Note 16. Egypt, please.
Thank you, Mrs. Chair. Yes, we would like to express our reservation as we have made previously. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Egypt. You have to clarify your reservation. The Secretariat's notes are not clear on what your reservation actually concerns. It seems they have more than one interpretation of what you have said. So please try to be clear or repeat what you wish this reservation to be.
Sorry, Mrs. Chair. I thought we were speaking of another topic. I'm sorry, and I apologize. Thank you. I withdraw my reservation once again.
Thank you. Egypt, Brazil, please.
Sorry, Madam Chair. I didn't understand. I didn't raise our flag. Now, sorry.
Thank you. Then we will note the reservation of the United States and Australia on Note 16. And now we turn to PASTA, the last set of issues on this on the GSFA proposed food additive provisions. If the European Union could please try again and perhaps more slowly, and we can all hear your intervention and listen for the compromise solution that we think you are suggesting within it. Please.
Thank you very much indeed, Madam Chair. I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to clarify our position on this. What the EU is suggesting is that we add note P1 just regarding pasta only, as was done in the Committee on Additives for other colouring agents, other colours in the same session. For example, cantaxanthin, there was P1 in pasta, and this was also done for caramel 4, and also this could be included for carotenes beta, so as to be coherent with all of the provisions that were put before you for your approval. Because in the EU we have encountered some problems. There was some misunderstanding. That's the reason why we want to deal with the matter now. I hope I've been clear enough now, in my intervention. If not, I can provide more clarification as needed. Thank you.
There remains... apparently an interpretation problem, and I'd like to ask the Secretary to explain for the Commission this translation, this interpretation problem that is complicating your attempts to communicate. Please, Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The problem that we have is with the translation from Spanish to English of the term noodles, that the interpreter translates as pasta. And this is what creates confusion. And the proposal is to replace the existing note associated with the provision of carotenes beta vegetables and the existing note is the note O1 and note P, with another note that is a note P1 that say for noodles only. Noodles only. And this is the proposal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretariat. This fits with your intervention. That's what you were trying to say, European Union. Okay. Can this be acceptable to the Commission members? I have the flag of Australia.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for giving me the opportunity to come back. In fact, this is what we thought the EC were asking for in the first place. And in fact, the EC's suggestion and argument is very consistent with what happened in the CCFA earlier this year in China. In fact, we did add this note for use in noodles only for other colours. And so in relation to this clarification, we can support the use of this note and the deletion of the other notes for the use of carotenoids in pasta. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Australia, for that further explanation. We have a way forward. Are there any objections to this proposal? Are you all clear on the proposal? I see no flags. Then we will adopt the draft and proposed draft food additive provisions of the GSFA, as I have noted, noting the reservations expressed by many member countries, noting the reservations of two countries on note 16 and on this last point regarding pasta and the specific provision regarding pasta. Thank you very much, delegates. Let's now move to the proposed draft revision of the food category system of the GSFA, General Standard for Food Additives. Comments, please. I see no flags. Morocco.
Thank you, Mrs. Chair. You recall that this morning I raised the question, and the reason is that by experience I shared the works of several committees, like pesticides, additives and contaminants, and you saw earlier the lengthy discussion on fresh fish, and one of the reasons, to my opinion, one of the reasons why you have these lengthy discussions is very often that the category systems is not as transparent as it should be, and that it might even be confusing. So confused, for instance, for all the people of the countries that are importing goods, and when they are trying to control, they are confused in the sense of which contaminant, which pesticide, which additives applies to what specific product, not to what category of products. So the discussion here maybe is beyond one specific committee, but we have to address the question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Morocco. The point you raise is a general one, as you acknowledge. In fact, it does not specifically have to do with the issue before us on this draft revision of the food category system of the GSFA. The best option seems to us to be that you bring this concern to the Food Additive Committee and try to make clear your concern and the broadness of it, the implications of it, and engage the Food Additive Committee in the matter and in discussion of the matter. I hope you can see that as a way forward. But I do not wish to discuss this. We cannot discuss this issue at this point in time. So if you can accept my recommendation, I encourage you to go to the Food Additive Committee and raise your concerns with them. Thank you, Morocco. Thank you. Now, are there any other comments from member countries on this proposed additive? I see none. I see only ICGA.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a little clarification. In the report of the Codex Committee on Food Additives, the modification of the scope on the food categorization system relates to 5.1, 5.2, and 5.4. It seems that there is a small typo in the list proposed to this Commission where it's listed 5.1, 5.3, and 5.4. It's just a minor thing. It's probably a typo error.
Thank you, ICGA. We will check. We will check. Are there any other comments? I see no flags. Then we adopt at step 5.8 the proposed draft revision of the food category system of the GSFA. And we move to the proposed draft amendments to the international numbering systems for food additives. Comments, please. I see no flags. The proposed draft amendments to the international numbering systems for food additives are adopted at step 5.8. Next, we take specification for the identity and purity of food additives. Comments, please. I see no flags. The specification for the identity and purity of food additives is adopted at step 5.8. We next move to the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods. First, we consider the proposed draft code of practice for the prevention and reduction of ethyl carbamate contamination in stone fruit distillates. Are there any comments? I see no flags. The proposed draft code of practice is adopted at step 5.8. Next, we look at the proposed draft maximum levels for melamine in food liquid infant formula. Are there comments, please? All right, Costa Rica, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We would like to express our reservation. We don't agree with the inclusion of the note for the maximum level of melamine when it comes to the transfer of packages of the product, because the materials shouldn't provide for the high levels of exposure when it comes to lactic products.
Thank you, Costa Rica. We note your reservation. Colombia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We haven't decided yet the approval, so it's our understanding that we should discuss whether or not we'll have approval, but with exceptions. We would like to mention that, first of all, because we don't understand how there can be acceptance when you could be masking the maximum levels of melamine due to some removal from the packaging. So we have to see, first of all, if we agree with the proposal, that's the first step, and see whether or not we will be maintaining our reservation in the second step. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Colombia. Uruguay, please.
Gracias.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Uruguay agrees with the limit for melamine that we have, but we do agree with what has just been said by Nicaragua and Peru and others in the fifth meeting regarding the reservation for the inclusion of the note. The product should not be admitted at these excessive levels.
Thank you, Uruguay. Chile, please, very briefly, if your concern is about the note, please just state that.
Yes, indeed, Madam Chair. We agree and we'd like to support what was just pointed out by the other delegations. Thank you.
Thank you. Nigeria, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nigeria, too, agrees with the maximum, the adoption of the maximum level, but is opposed to the addition of the footnotes that we encourage any higher levels. Thank you.
Kenya, please.
Oops, sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. Kenya, too, would like to reserve the comments on the note, as we did also in the meeting, because we feel that these levels are too high, especially for infants. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenya. Your comment referring to levels and the note, which I think it begins perhaps to mix two different points, leads me to want to turn to the chair of the committee for some further explanation and clarification of what the note is intended to do and its relationship to the levels that the committee is talking about, is recommending for adoption. So if I may turn to the Netherlands and ask for clarification from the chair before I take any more interventions. Netherlands, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last year we adopted the standard for powdered infant formula. This year we discussed the standard for liquid infant formula. There was broad consensus on the standard of 0.15 because this was in line with the standard of last year. However, there was also a clear wish to cater for the possibility of migration from the packaging material, as this liquid infant formula is normally presented in packaging. And there was some discussion about how to do this. However, as migration from the packaging material does not result in levels that could be comparable to what happens when you have intentional fraud and would not result in danger for public health, and as national legislation remains very well possible concerning the level of migration, and it's also stated, this footnote was accepted. Thank you.
Thank you, Netherlands. What you are saying then is that well, let me ask whether this explanation is clear to the committee, to the commission, and whether, even having heard this explanation, those countries that have expressed concern about the note, whether this explanation answers some of your questions about that note. The note concerns currently unavoidable migration or transfer of melamine from packaging materials, caps, and so forth, and gives full recognition to countries' national limits on such migration. I will take the few remaining countries that have asked for the floor, and then we will sum up. Australia, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Australia fully agrees with the intervention just made by the Chair of the CCCF. Exceedance due to legitimate processing should be allowed, as the standard is intended to address the possibility of adulteration, and therefore limits should be set on the basis that any higher levels of melamine only arise from adulteration. There are no health concerns, in our view, arising from the presence of melamine in liquid infant formula at levels which could occur from legitimate food processing and food contact. So we believe that the explanation of the CCF Chair fully explains some of the issues that have been raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Australia. Jamaica, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jamaica would like to support the adoption of the proposed MRL and notes the explanation given by the chair of that committee and therefore does not have any objection to the note that is stated in the standard sense.
Thank you, Jamaica. Cameroon, please.
Merci, Madame.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Cameroon supports what Australia and the chair of the committee has said, because on this issue, this has been subject to the debate during the work of the committee in The Hague. So we all reached a consensus on this, and the figure that was retained reflects truly what was said. Now, the footnote, as the chair of the committee stated, takes into consideration other factors, particularly the issue of packaging and also the fact that some foods contain these additives in a natural way as a component of the food. So we support what was proposed and what was put forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Cameroon. I see the flag of Costa Rica. You want to come back in a second time. I saw the flag of Colombia. You want to come back in a second time. Please, Costa Rica first, then Colombia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Costa Rica would like to maintain its reservation. If we've understood well what the chairman of the committee said, we do nonetheless maintain our reservation. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Costa Rica. We note your reservation. Colombia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With the draft standard that's being put forward, well, we'd just like to maintain a reservation regarding the exception. Thank you.
Thank you, Colombia. Chile.
Just, I'd like to agree with what the people who spoke right before me said. Thank you.
So, Chile, you want to record your reservation, Uruguay?
Así es, señora presidenta.
Yes, indeed, Madam Chair. That's it.
Uruguay.
Gracias, presidente.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Uruguay also maintains its reservation. Thank you.
Thank you, Uruguay. Nigeria?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Nigeria too maintains its reservation, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigeria. Kenya?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kenya too would like to maintain its reservation.
Thank you, Kenya. Tanzania, please.
Thank you, Chair. Tanzania would also wish to make a reservation on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanzania. Sri Lanka?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sri Lanka also wishes to maintain our reservations on this matter.
Thank you, Sri Lanka. You are speaking for the first time. You haven't said what your reservation concerns. Is it concerning the note?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I see no flags. Oh, no, there is the flag of NHF. NHF, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. NHF, as we maintained at the CCF meeting earlier this year, is opposed to this footnote, and we agree with Costa Rica, Colombia, Uruguay, Chile, Nigeria, and especially Kenya on what its comments were, because this creates a huge loophole. If it weren't, and it's not subject to the 0.150 limit, and if it's not such a danger, then why shouldn't it be subject to that limit? And this is what we all have argued at the committee level and is the basis for a lot of our objections to this footnote here. No one can be sure that there's no danger from the migration, and yet here it is affecting a very vulnerable population. So we maintain our reservation, our objection to this particular footnote, which creates a loophole that you could drive a truck through. It doesn't belong here, and it shouldn't be in this document, nor should it be approved by this commission. Thank you.
Thank you, NHF. Zimbabwe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would also like to express our objections to the footnote, which allows for higher levels of the stated maximum limit. Thank you.
Zimbabwe, we will record your reservation. Colombia, you are asking to come in for the third time. Do you have...
Sí, señora presidenta.
Yes, indeed, Madam Chair. I know it's unusual, but in my brief experience, you're looking at some 5 to 6 years in the Commission. I think this is a very unusual case. We have so many reservations by a number of delegates and organizations as well. I think it would be worth focusing on this specific case, and I don't think I've seen a document that's ever shown so many reservations before in the past. Hence, I'd recommend to the chairperson to call for a review of the situation of this document. Thank you.
Thank you, Colombia. The possibility that faces us then is as this proposed draft maximum level is before us at step 5-8, is to send the document back to the committee as the note is linked to the level and attempt to work out the issue in the committee. There are indeed a number of reservations. Adopt at step 5, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear, adopt at step 5 and send it back to the committee at step 5. Can the Commission agree with this? Australia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My only comment would be that the same reservations were made at the committee, the CCCF, and still the committee had a consensus to send this document with the note attached, as I think the Chair of the CCF has already elaborated. So I'm not sure that sending it back will solve the issue. At the moment, I think we have about 8 or 9 reservations and one NGO. And I think the same people made the same reservation in a long discussion at the committee meeting this year. Perhaps the chair of the committee could also comment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Australia. The notes, in fact, from the Secretariat show that we have 10 reservations now, at least so far. There were 3 at the committee. And 10 is a lot of reservations when we are sending something forward for at step 5-8. And some of these reservations were not, in fact, voiced at the committee. So it seems the most prudent course of action to take. It is never a happy day when we send a document back to a committee, because we like to move forward, but we need to move forward prudently. And I see the flag of the Netherlands. I will take the flag of the chair of the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, you know, basically the document that we had on the table in The Hague was stating a level of 0.5. Clearly, at that level, we did not need a footnote. We decided to lower the level to 0.15. In fact, this was an attempt to have a level, let's say, as low as possible. And well, then you need a footnote for the migration. And so, yeah, basically, either we will be back with a document
with a footnote or will back with a higher level, but that will not really help the concerns of the delegations today. So I can live with either option, but I just want to make clear that the footnote was there to give the possibility to have a lower level, and there was, in fact, consensus, and the reservations which were made were noted in the report. There were a number of 3 or 4, something like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Netherlands. I have made a proposal to adopt at step 5 and send the document back to the committee for further discussion. The chair can accept that on behalf of the committee. I have on the list 5 countries that want to intervene. If you are having summed up, having heard my sum up, do you still wish to intervene? And I'll just call your name, and if you feel you must make an intervention, please do, but please make it brief. Ethiopia, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree to your final statement, and it's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ethiopia, Canada, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We will not object, if this is the collective wisdom of the Commission, to take this standard back to the committee. However, we would like to express, in fact, our disappointment in this matter, because we consider, in fact, that the reservations were raised on the basis of a potential misunderstanding. The 0.15 parts per million that was developed is a very restrictive limit. And in fact, it is not, or the footnote would not result into a license to pollute. On the contrary, the 0.15 ppm is there to ensure a potential discrimination between intended or intentional adulteration and unintended or naturally or process-induced melamine that may be found in products such as liquid infant formula. Our own data generated in Canada, and we are one of the biggest producers and I would say consumers of liquid infant formula, has identified instances where you would have levels at 0.2, 0.3 parts per million without any justification or any, in fact, finding of intentional adulteration. Rather, this is a process-induced potential migration, and it was deemed to be perfectly safe based on the assessment that was conducted through the expert consultation on melamine in food. And as was indicated by the chair of CCCF, the 0.15 ppm was in fact, I guess, a compromise that was reached, trying again to take the levels of melamine to as low as reasonably achievable, from a 0.5 parts per million to a 0.15 parts per million. So we actually call on the Commission member maybe to consider for a last time this explanation. If we would like to send back this item to the committee, well, we will agree with the wisdom of the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Canada. That was a very clear explanation. I urge you to share it as widely as possible when the discussion takes place at the committee on contaminants next year. Fiji, please.
Madam Chair, it seems to me there is a solution. The concerns are the unlimited nature of the potential addition from packaging. If we were to set some limit on that, I think it would might solve the country's concerns. Hearing the discussion, if a level of 0.50 was allowed for all to consider both packaging and the inherent product, that was lowered to 0.15, if we were to set a limit for 0.35 of what might be the maximum allowed to come from packaging, that would meet everyone's concern rather than having it go forward.
Thank you, Fiji. That discussion can take place in the committee. It's not appropriate for here. Thank you. Thank you, delegates. I have on my list one observer organization. I believe it is NHI. No? NH.
If it's NHF.
NHF.
Yes.
You spoke already.
I did. So thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I believe we have concluded with a recommendation to adopt at step 5 and send this document back to the committee. I sincerely hope that the confusion that apparently exists can be worked through because it clearly still exists. We turn now to the Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues and the draft maximum residue limits for pesticides at step 8. Comments, please. European Union, please.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The comments of the European Union on this matter of the agenda are in document 11344, addendum 1. The European Union supports the approval of all of the drafts for the maximum limit of residues as included in appendix 2 of the document, with the exception of draft LMR for oxyphob 194 due to concerns on the chronic use in fupolucobida, substance 235 due to concerns on acute ingestion. You can refer to our written comments for this information. We'd simply like to inform the Commission that for oxyphob, the EU has expressed or has sent to the Secretariat of the Codex its form on which we have voiced our concerns. In the interest of progress, the European Union will not oppose the approval of these maximum residue limits, but we maintain our reservations on these decisions, and we request that these reservations go into the report of this session. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. European Union, Norway, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Norway supports the adoption at step 8 of all draft MRLs in Appendix 2, with the exception of the draft MRLs for haloxifop 194 and fluopicolid 235. This is also presented in conference room document number 6, so please note our reservations to these MRLs. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway. Your reservations are noted. Are there any other comments? I see no flags. The draft MRLs at step 8 are adopted with the reservations as noted. Next, we look at the proposed draft MRLs at step 5-8. Comments, please. And before we take that up, there is a clarification the Secretariat needs you to understand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we apologize in advance, but there seems to be a sort of editorial correction we need to make here, because there is some mistakes coming from the 2010 JMPR report. So not all the MRLs listed for spices for adoption as state 5-8 are actually MRLs for pesticides. Only those that I will quote now are actually MRLs that should be considered for adoption by the Codex Alimentarius Commission. We have been in contact with the FAO JMPR Secretariat, and she just confirmed that the remaining MRLs are not actually MRLs, and therefore there has been a mistake in the JMPR report, and by implication in the Codex database for pesticides that was considered by the last session of the Committee on Pesticide Residues. So the following MRLs are for adoption as TED 5-8, and those are for food category 028B, fruit or berry. There are only three MRLs for carbaryl, carbendazine, and cypermethrin. And for food category 028D, root or rhizome, there is only one MRL coming for adoption as TED 5-8, and that is for deltamethrin. The remaining figures should not be considered as MRL for adoption by this session of the Commission. And we apologize one more time for that mistake. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat. Is that information clear now to all delegates? Yes? All right. I take the flag of Costa Rica.
I apologize, Madam Chair. But a bit of confusion. There have been a number of lists and addenda here, so I'd like to get a clear focus on the theme. I'm not really clear on what the Secretariat just said a moment ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Costa Rica. I have asked the Secretariat for clarity, especially for you, to repeat the information she just provided in Spanish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It was from the last meeting on pesticides, Red 11, TR, Appendix. The appendix is Appendix 3, which draws a list of all the MRLs to be adopted by the Commission at the level of 5-8. On the last page of this appendix, now you have all the MRLs for spices, of which only three of four category 028B are MRLs to be considered by the Commission. The rest of them were listed erroneously, wrongly, on the agenda as MRLs. Hence, it was an error. This error also was passed on to the Pesticide Residue Committee, but nobody noticed this error until it made it all the way to the Commission here. So these limits are not to be considered by the Commission. They are not actually MRLs. Now, for category 0.28D, there is only one MRL, that's deltamethrin, which is to be considered by the Commission. All the rest, or none of the rest, corresponds to any MRL value. As I said, there was an error in the report, and so these other values are not to be considered here. This is Appendix 3 of the meeting of the Committee on Pesticide Residues. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat. I hope that is clear to you now, Costa Rica. Having had this explanation twice, are there comments on the substances remaining, European Union?
Sí, muchas gracias.
Thank you very much indeed, Madam Chair. I'd like to say that the comments of the EU are also found in document 1134-4, addendum 1. The EU supports the approval of the draft project of MRLs for the combinations of pesticides and products from Appendix 3, with the exception of combinations of pesticides and products indicated in this document and for which the EU has requested that we include, you have included our reservations in the report of this session. Thank you very much indeed, Madam Chair.
Thank you, European Union. Are there any other comments? Norway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Norway support the adoption of the MRLs in Appendix 3, except what has been presented in conference room documents, number 6. So please, I will not read it all, but please note our reservations presented in the conference room number 6. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway. Are there any other comments? I see no flags. Therefore, we will adopt the draft MRLs at step 8, recording the reservations that have been requested, and the proposed draft MRLs at step 5-8, recording the reservations as have been requested. Thank you very much. Let's turn now to the proposed draft revision to the guidelines on the estimation of uncertainty of results for the determination of pesticide residues. It is before us at step 5-8. Comments, please. I see no flags. Therefore, this proposed draft revision to the guidelines on the estimation of uncertainty for results for the determination of pesticide residues is adopted. So we turn next to the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products and the draft standard for fish sauce. I note for you that the Executive Committee recommended adoption of this draft standard with endorsements to follow, merely as a matter of timing. Are there comments, European Union, please?
We fully support the adoption of the draft standard for fish sauce, but we would like to introduce a reservation on Caramel 3, INS 150C for safety reasons. Thank you very much.
Are there, thank you, European Union, your reservation is noted. Are there any other comments? Norway, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaking as Chair of the Fish Committee, I would advise the Commission to accept also the European Union comments outlined in Addendum 1 concerning correcting the INS numbers and avoiding unnecessary duplication as a basis for adoption during this Commission session. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway. And thank you, European Union, for providing these clarifications. Are there any other comments? I see no flags. Therefore, the draft standard for fish sauce is adopted at step 8. We now move to the draft code of practice for fish and fishery products, specifically the section on smoked fish and relevant definitions. Comments, please. Norway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as an attempt to be a time saver for this session, the Chair has looked into the country comments received prior to this session, and we see that the comments received both from the European Union and from Norway could readily be accepted as the outlined comments being editorial and technical improving character, closely following the discussions of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Norway, and through you, thank you to Norway and the EU again for editorial comments to improve the clarity of our documents. Are there any other comments on this section on smoked fish? I see no flags, therefore it is adopted at step 5-8. Thank you very much, delegates. We turn now to the proposed draft amendment to section 3.4.5.1, water, of the Code of Practice for Fish and Fishery Products. This is before us at step 5-8. Are there comments, please? European Union, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We fully support the adoption of the proposed draft amendment to section 3.4.5.1, but we would like also to include a declaration in the report saying the following words: the EU welcomes the amendment to section 3.4.5.1 and thanks all delegation for their openness, which allowed an agreement to be reached on the use of higher concentration of chlorine in water than in potable water for the purpose of decontamination of fish and fishery products. According to this agreement, the competent authority responsible at any step of the food chain, including in the country of consumption, can request that the substances used for decontamination are submitted for their approval. And we can provide the text in writing to the Secretariat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, European Union. This is in line with what you previously commented, the comment you made with respect to the Committee on Food Hygiene and Campylobacter and Salmonella, which we did accept. So is there any objection to inclusion of this language United States.
Could you clarify once again, or could the EU clarify exactly what their request is, please? Was it inclusion in the report language there?
European Union, you're asked for clarification. Was the language you just read out for inclusion in the report of this committee, of this commission? Yes, that is correct. Are there any other questions or concerns about this proposal by the European Union? I see no flags. Then we will adopt. Oh, well, I should ask, are there any other comments on any other aspect of this proposed draft amendment? I see no flags. Therefore, we will adopt the proposed draft amendment at step 5.8, and we will include the language suggested by the European Union in the report. We turn now to the proposed draft amendment to the standard for quick frozen fish sticks before us at step 5.8. Are there comments, please? I see no flags. Therefore, we can adopt the proposed draft amendment to the standard for quick frozen fish sticks. We turn next to the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables, the draft standard for tree tomato at step 8. Comments, please. Colombia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Even though that this emanates from Colombia and the document has taken a long time, I would like to have the Secretariat to trace back the unfolding of some of the negotiations that we've had. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Colombia. I will ask the Secretariat to provide, I think you're asking for a correction. Secretary, please.
I don't think we have any problem with that. If you're referring to the last row in the sizing table by diameter, I think it's basically to revert the range, and we don't have any problem with that. It's kind of editorial and correction. Thank you.
Thank you, Columbia. We can make that change. Are there any other comments on tree tomatoes? Tree tomato. I see no flags. Then it is adopted with this editorial correction by the Secretariat. Next, we take the proposed draft standard for chili peppers, which is at step 5.8. Are there comments, please? Thailand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope that we can finish this issue within the remaining 3 minutes. So Thailand realized that the chili pepper is a very important commodity as a food that is produced and consumed worldwide, and as a vegetable that largely varies from country to country and from region to region. In our written comments in CRD 18, we have a strong concern on one section on the standard, that is the mandatory labeling of the level of pungency, which can create problem and need further careful consideration before it can be adopted at step 8. Many countries, especially Asian countries, do not have adequate data to classify the level of pungency for all varieties of chili pepper to put on the label. Our first intention is that the standard cannot be adopted as step 8 unless this concern can be solved. But for the spirit of compromise, so that the standard can be progressed, after consulting with the chairperson of the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetables, we can accept the adoption of standard as step 5-8 if the labeling requirement can be amended to be in a more voluntary nature. The amended text we would like to propose is in the board section of 6.1.1, labeling of consumer packages, and also 6.2.2, labeling of non-retail containers. So at the end of the sentence, we would like to change the text from "and the pungency" to the new text that read "and may be labeled as to the level of pungency." So the whole sentence can be read, "If the produce is not visible from outside, each package shall be labeled as to the name of the produce, the variety, and may be labeled as to the level of pungency." So this is our proposal put on the table for the Commission for consideration. Thank you.
Delegates, we have, it is now 6 o'clock. We are to adjourn, recess the meeting at 6. There are a couple of more interventions. I would like to see if we can resolve this question tonight, if we can take another few minutes. If we can't, we will continue tomorrow morning on this matter. So can this proposal by Thailand, which has been agreed by the chair of the committee on behalf of the committee, is there opposition to this proposal by any delegation? I see no opposition. Therefore, we will accept this change as suggested by Thailand and agreed by the Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables. Mexico, for the committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'd simply like to call for some editorial change here to make it consistent. Section 4. Noted for the products that have been presented.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you. That seems correct. And the Secretary has a clarification to make. And then we will recess and set our interpreters free.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just quite quickly, if we're going to make flexible the reference to the level of pungency in the labeling, as the delegation of Thailand said, we make an amendment in 6.1.1, but we will need another amendment in 6.2.2. If I'm correctly understand, we also need to make optional the level of pungency for that section. And that amendment will be then name of the variety, and then full stop, and then you will say level of pungency and between parentheses optional, and that will be for consistency with your previous intervention to make the level of pungency optional for the retail containers. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretariat. Now, before we recess for the evening, there are some announcements from the Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are two announcements. One of the delegates in the African region will have a meeting tomorrow at 8, and it's room 15 in level minus 1. And then there is the EU coordination meeting, which will be held tomorrow morning at 8:30 in room 6, level 3. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Delegates, we will take up Chili Pepper, remaining questions, and conclude on Chili Pepper tomorrow morning. We will reconvene at 9:30. I will see you here at 9:30. Thank you very much. And there is a reception at now.